God, we come before you this morning asking to hear a word. Again, a word that speaks to us, Lord, and we are so thankful that you're still speaking to us, that you still love us, that you still welcome us into your fold, that you promise to always be with us. And so, Lord, we're leaning on that promise this morning, and we're praying your Holy Spirit would reveal his presence among us mightily, and that you would be with us, and that you would speak to our hearts, our minds, our whole selves, so that we might go deeper with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I was reading this week on commentaries about this Matthew passage. That's what we're going to focus on today. And I read in this commentary on Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42, that Dr. Elizabeth Johnson, who I guess is a professor at a Lutheran seminary, she asked these three convicting questions of the church who would read this passage. So I just want to read those questions to you. The first question is, what would happen, and these are challenging questions, okay? What would happen if we stopped expecting people to come on their own initiative through our church doors and instead took seriously our calling to bring the gospel to them? Number two is, what would happen if we truly believed that we bear the presence of Christ to every person we encounter in every home, workplace, or neighborhood we enter? And the third question is, what would happen if we saw every conversation as an opportunity to speak words of grace, every interaction as an opportunity to embody Christ's love for the neighbor? Which made me think of a story, and I want you to imagine this in your own life. Imagine you're 5 years old, that you're at a pool. I don't care where the pool is, but you're at a pool. And it's so hot out, it's like 90-some degrees out, and the humidity is 100%. You're just so hot, it's like an oven outside. And you want so desperately to get into the pool, but there's one condition for getting in the pool. Your parent or your grandparent is in the pool. And right now you can imagine your father, your mother, your grandparent, and he or she is saying that the only way that you can get in this pool, you're 5 years old, remember, the only way you can get in this pool is you jump in the deep end. 10 feet deep. And you know it. Because you can't swim. But your parent, your grandparent is there in the pool and they're waiting for you. And they tell you that they will get you. And they will take care of you. If you trust them in this situation, you're more likely to jump in because you trust that they'll catch you. But if you don't, well, there might be an argument that takes place between the parent or the grandparent and the child. There will probably be tears at some point of frustration or sadness or anger. And you're likely not going to take that leap of faith. Because, again, you can't swim. And you're not sure. And you're not sure to trust. And so what does that imaginary story have to do with our gospel lesson for today and the questions that Dr. Johnson asks of the reader of this passage? In this passage, remember that Jesus is telling his disciples to go out. He's commanding them to go out to spread the good news, to heal people of their illnesses, and to cast out demons. He's giving them this command to go out, but not to take anything with them, and to rely on God to supply everything that they need. And he says here in this passage that anyone who welcomes them essentially welcomes him, and anyone who welcomes him welcomes the one who sent him. And so, first off, what we understand is that the apostles, as they're welcomed, as they go out, they're representing Jesus. in these ancient days, and even today, in a different context, in the ancient days, the emissaries, those who served the king, were sent out and they represented the king. And wherever they went, they were received like the king himself. And so, likewise, you know, there are diplomats today who are received well by state, you know, the State Department and the president, and received like the leader of those countries. And so the apostles represent Jesus. They are his emissaries. He is their king and their leader and their rabbi. And so we too represent Jesus in the world today. It's not just back then, it's today. And so those emissaries, those apostles, we who are sent out, are then expected to be treated like Jesus, which isn't always nice, right? And so we might sometimes be welcomed, we might sometimes not be welcomed. And we're to act as Jesus would act. We're to treat others as Jesus would treat them. But they had to go first. So that's the first part. We got to understand that we are emissaries, that we are representatives of Christ if we call ourselves Christians, and they and we can't stay on the edge of the pool. That's the first thing. When they went, they were also to remember that Jesus, that they bear the presence of Jesus. You know, we say it all the time, or a lot of us say it all the time, you know, that you might be, it's cliche now in many circles, you might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. You know, people watch us for how we act. And so a Christ follower doesn't belong to herself or himself, but to Jesus, our King. And wherever they go, wherever we go, in our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and even church, because remember, as much as we like to think that the church is this place where everybody gets along all the time and we're all singing kumbaya around a fire, strumming a guitar, we got to be aware of how we treat each other in church, too. Everywhere we go, we're carrying with us the presence of Christ. Wherever we go, we bear our King's seal. People are watching, and we need to be more like Jesus than ourselves, which is to be inclusive, to welcome the stranger, the outcast, the enemy, the people that society says don't welcome, don't include. Even sometimes the church says don't welcome, don't include. We're to welcome them because that's what Jesus does. And we let God work on them because God's working on us too, right? We're all imperfect. So the second part is that we can't let the fear of our calling to jump in, to go. We can't let the fear of forgetting our self-desires or our personal plans and what we desire to keep us from jumping in the deep end of being a follower of Christ. So that was the second thing. So the third, when the disciples, when they went out, they were reminded that all who go on mission, now this is all people who go on mission and in service to God, sometimes right in our neighborhoods, all people who go on mission and service in love for God, from the apostle who proclaims the gospel, who speaks it to the person who prepares the meals for the apostle or whatever else, that all were called to give to others, that all were called to give to others, that all are included in this, to give and to receive in love and to give in love. Jesus says, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, not one of those will lose their reward. Giving a cup of cold water. I don't know if you've ever given a cup of cold water to someone who is really thirsty and really hot, but that is an act of grace itself. It is like life-giving water to the person who receives it. And so we're called to do that. And so we're called to not only go, not only to remember that we bear our King's presence everywhere we go, that people are watching, but also that we are to share the grace that God has given us with others. And this is good news. Our salvation, our forgiveness that we have received through grace alone, through our trust in God, through our faith, that is to trust in God, is good news. It needs to be shared. And so will you jump in the deep end of your relationship with God? Because much like that parent in our imaginary story who's conceivably holding up their hands in the pool on that hot day, calling to their child to jump in the deep water, and calling the child very literally to have faith in them that they're going to catch them, even when the child doesn't know how to swim, we too have been called to jump right in. To go, to represent Jesus wherever we are, and to love people wherever they are, not just in geography, but in where they are in life too. None of us are perfect. Get the log out of your own eye before you're worried about the speck of someone else's. But that we're called to go and give grace. The grace that we've received freely, we're called to pour out freely with whoever we meet, wherever we meet them. And so I ask you all today, will you jump in? Will you trust your King, your heavenly parent who loves you, who's calling for you to jump in a little deeper maybe? Will you go? Will you represent your King wherever you go? Will you receive that grace? Will you give that grace more freely? Because the rewards are there too. And they're not like rewards that we get when we go shop at the store and we get those rewards, right? The rewards for this are everlasting rewards. Those usually fall off after a year of shopping or whatever. But these rewards are everlasting. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40 says, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's saying, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And then the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" And so we welcome them, we invite them in, we love them. And when we do that, we're doing it for him. Remembering all of these things because we need to jump in. James writes in James chapter 2, verse 17, that faith that isn't accompanied by action, or faith without works, is dead. And Jesus, our King and Savior himself, he says in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, so have the faith, if you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, trust in me, but do what I'm telling you to do. Jump in. And so will you trust in the Lord to take you deeper today? Because God isn't calling us to the shallow end of the pool. God isn't calling us to the shallow ends of life, but to the deeper waters of an abundant life. God is calling you and me deeper in relationship. So I ask, will you trust that God will catch you? That God will hold you? That God will keep you no matter what? Because God is there waiting for you with outstretched arms, saying to you, "Come and trust me. The waters are deep, but I am with you. I will catch you and I will keep you." Amen. Please.